You have your Bibles today, you can be finding Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. We're going to start a little series through the book of Colossians, talking about doing all we can for the Lord. Doing all we can. Doing all we can do. Colossians chapter number 1, and I'll read verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, beginning in Colossians chapter number 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you had to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister in Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, don't cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word this morning. We're going to go through this little book, and it's a wonderful book. It talks about doing all we can for God and making him the preeminence in our lives. And then those verses that I read today talk a little bit about the fruit that we have as Christians. And during Sunday nights, we'll be going through the fruits of the Spirit. So we're going to talk this morning about making much of God. Making much of God. Doing all we can do for God. And it's my hope and prayer that God will use these messages to speak to your heart like he has spoken unto mine. If there was ever a time in the church's history and in the history of our nation for the church to be stirred up, it's now. If there's ever been a time where the church needs the Spirit to do a mighty work in the church, it's today. If we don't make much of God, listen, church, if we don't do all that we can do, I believe our churches and America, as we have known her, will slip right through the hands of God. We have to do everything in our power to make much of God, to give him the preeminence. Without doing all we can, I believe that America will continue down this path of destruction and judgment. America's rise or fall is dependent on its relationship with God. You believe that? Without God's people, which is the church, doing all that we can, without God's people, which is the church, standing in the gap, mark it down, America will continue in its downward spiral. So what are we to do as Christians? Well, as a church and as a people with conviction, we must make much of God. We must do all that we can do. If the church doesn't start putting God first and making him the main issue, our churches are going to fail, our families will fail, and eventually America will fail. We've got to make much of God. We've got to do all that we can do for his glory. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about this morning? How in the world can we make much of God? What do we need to do to make much of him? Well, I just believe we need to do all we can do for the glory of God. You know, I've heard it all as a pastor. I've heard people, I've talked with other pastors, and I go to these conferences where they tell you how to have church and all that kind of stuff. And you know, people are saying today that, well, it's because of the gay marriages, that's why the world is in its mess today. It's because of all the drugs that are out there and the alcoholism and adultery and everything that's bad and everything that's wrong. That's what's wrong with our country today. Others are saying, well, it's got to be because we're killing so many babies in our country. Abortion is the issue because of millions of babies that are being killed every year. I've heard it all. And I want you to look up at me this morning, and I don't want you to misquote me or misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. All of them immoral issues that I just talked about today really shouldn't be our main focus. Really, really, God should be our main focus. If we seek the holiness of God, all these other things will take care of itself. And I got to thinking about it. You know what the greatest difference between the America in 1776 and America in 2018 is? You know what it is? Doing away with the God of the Bible. That's the difference. It's not all of the other stuff. It's doing away with the Bible, not putting God first. All of that other stuff that I talked about, all of that other sin, is just a symptom of not putting God first, not doing what the Bible tells us to do. God should be our main focus. And here's what I mean. We need to help people discover the God in the Bible. It's because what they believe about God will ultimately determine their behavior. Think about that. What they believe about God in his word will determine their behavior. Living a lifestyle of sin, whatever it is a symptom of what a person believes to be true about God and his word. What a person believes about God determines their behavior. I couldn't help but think about 9/11, September 11th, when those terrorists flew those planes into the Twin Towers. They did that because of what they believed about their God. They thought that if they did that, that they would go to heaven and get 1,000 virgins. You see, what I'm trying to get at is a person's view on God and his word will determine their behavior. And it's true. A person's view of God will determine how they treat others. If we believe in a God who says kill the infidel, we'll likely hate those who don't believe as we do. But if we believe in a God that says to love your enemies and do good to them that hate you, then we'll be far more likely to love others. And I just believe that it's time for us as Christians, as churches, to make God the main focus and to put him first. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And especially there in verse 18, where he says, "And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that he might have the preeminence." Now, I've given you an introduction, and I want us to back up beginning in verse 1 for the message. The church at Colossae, like all churches, had its challenges, yet I believe by studying this book that they were putting God first, and they were making him the preeminence, and they were making God the main issue. And that's what these messages are going to be about. I want to ask you, not only for you to be here over the next several Sundays, but to invite somebody to come with you as we talk about putting God first. Putting God first. You say, "Preacher, all right, that was an introduction, a long introduction. How in the world are we going to put God first?" I think we do that. We put God first. Let me just give you three little simple statements on how, based on God's word, based on verses 1 through 10, how we can put God first in our lives. And the first one is this, very simple, by loving one another. By loving one another. If you'll look at verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." And notice what it says, "and the love which you have to all the saints." How are we going to make much of God at Northside Baptist Church? Well, number one, by loving one another. This church had a reputation of love. Did you know that the love you express to the other folks in this church is evidence of your salvation? You ever thought of it that way? The way you love others is evidence of your salvation. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we have love for the brethren, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says, "He who does not love his brother abides in death." The Bible says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, because the Bible says God is love." So if God so loved us, how much more should we love one another? First thing we need to do to put God first in our lives is love one another. Listen, you pull love up from the ground and you'll find the roots of faith. The more my faith grows, the more my love grows. If you're having trouble loving the saints, then check your faith tank. Verse 8 says this, "Who also declares to us your love in the Spirit." You know what the truth of the matter is? We all need to be loved, don't we? We all need to be loved. We all want to be loved. I need it. You need it. And we all do. You need the love of God's people. That's why church is so great. That's why we come. That's why we fellowship, to love on one another. We'll never become what God wants us to be without loving one another and being loved by one another. That's good preaching. Loving one another. And in doing so, I believe with all of my heart, we're making much of God. Loving one another is putting the preeminence on him, making him first in our lives. So loving one another, that's the first thing that we should do if we want to make much of God. But here's number two. Not only should we love one another, but we need to listen to one another. My daddy always said, two heads better than one. Listening to one another. Look what the Bible says in verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in this world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard. You see that? You heard and you knew the grace of God's truth. Listen to one another. Don't do like the couple that was sitting on the porch, the husband and wife. They were sitting on the porch swing, and the wife said, honey, I sure am proud of you. And he said, what'd you say? And she said, I said, I'm sure proud of you. And he couldn't hear, and he said, what'd you say, Ma? And she said, I said, I'm proud of you. And the husband said, well, I'm tired of you too. Listen to one another. The Bible says that we show the love of God when we love one another and when we listen to one another. We all have different ideas, and it's good to listen to one another. Those believers here at Colossae were listening to one another, and you know what they were hearing? They had heard before the word of the truth, the gospel. Somebody had to tell them the truth of the gospel. Somebody had to show them the truth of the gospel. Did you get that? They heard the word and they saw. Not only did they hear the word, but they saw the word lived out before them. They heard and then they saw. It's one thing to hear the word of God, but it's another thing to see the word of God living out in someone's life. One of the greatest sermons you will ever preach is the sermon that you live with your life. I can tell you that I love you, but you don't really know if I love you or not. I can tell my wife that I love her, and she don't know if I really love her or not. The way I show my love is by my actions. Honey, I do love you. Listen, talk is cheap. The proof's in the pudding, isn't it? I hope you know how much I love you, but the way we show our love is by our actions. What we do for one another, as we listen to others, as we love others. One of the areas that God spoke to me about in my prayer life, in my daily devotion, is in our church, in our fellowship. And I've been praying that God would do a work, a wonderful work in our church. And I've been praying for God to bless this fellowship. And I've been praying for unity and for a sweet fellowship and for a genuine love for one another and a spirit-filled worship, a Bible-centered preaching and a group of people that just flat out love the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you get a group of people that love Jesus and a church, and you talk about a good time. We have a good time. And God wants that. God wants his house to be filled not only with people, but with praise. He wants that. Let me tell you, I hate empty pews. I hate them. Empty pews tell me that folks don't appreciate and know the power of God. And what a testimony it would be to this church if we walked in here and seen every pew packed. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And it would be even more wonderful to see folks in this church just packed to the just packed in and worshiping God. All here for one reason, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to make much of God. I would love that, and I know you would love that. Not just so we can count, not just so that we can say we had this many in Sunday school, but so we can brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about anyway. It's not about us. It's all about Him. We got to be making much of God. God wants His house full. Don't you believe that God wants His churches full with worshipers? He wants that more than we do. He deserves that. He demands that. And it's time we get serious about the house of God, and time we get serious about inviting others to church and worship and putting God first and doing all that we can do to make much of God. The people at Colossae did. They had to hear it before they could heed it. And if people throughout our community heard what was going on at the church, they might want to come. I know I've said this 100 times since I've been here, but it's like that little story about the church being on fire and the people in the community was there to help put the fire out. And one of the deacons was there and he looked at another man and said, "Man, I hadn't seen you in church in a long time." He said, "It's the first time the church has been on fire in a long time." Listen, the Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." God's here. When you come through those doors, you bring the Holy Spirit of God with you. God's in this place. We just need to make much of God. Verse 6 says that when they heard, they brought forth fruit. Well, we make much of God by loving one another. We do that. Amen. We make much of God by listening to one another. They heard the truth and it set them free, and they were making much of God. And then last of all, we make much of God by learning from one another. Look what the Bible says in verse 10. "That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him." How many of you want to please the Lord? "Fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God." I love that verse. Folks, I want to be pleasing unto God. I want to be fruitful in everything I do. Wouldn't it be nice if every saint in here was fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God? There's so much in that one verse of scripture right there. One of the signs that you're increasing in the knowledge of God is that you're being fruitful in every good work. Growth and fruit go together. Did you know that? Those that are growing in Christ are being fruitful, and the faith was being seen, and you are being strengthened in your faith. I wonder, do people see fruit in my life? I wonder, do people see fruit in your life? Maybe I've shared this before, but there was a man named Roy Seawright at Blue Ridge View when I first started going there, and he was a godly influence in my life. He taught Sunday school when I went to Sunday school during those days, and he was there every time the doors were open. Matter of fact, he was the one that opened the doors of the church, and I don't know if you know Roy, just old country boy. Loved the Lord, Vietnam veteran. I was talking to him one Sunday, and he said, "Buckshot, we used to smoke together." He said, "Buckshot, I've quit smoking. I've laid them down." And I said, "You serious?" He said, "Yep, I laid them down yesterday. I don't want another one." And I said, "Well, Roy, I'm proud of you. And I told him, I said, if you quit a year, I'll quit. And that was all that was said. And a year later, Roy walked up to me and said, Buckshot, it's been 1 year since I quit. I said, oh. But you know what I did? He was such a godly influence in my life that I said, well, Roy, I told you if you'd quit a year, I'd quit. So you know what I did? I laid him down. And hadn't smoked one since. That's what I'm talking about when I say learning from one another. We all can learn from one another. It was being seen in their living. These folks were living their faith out and they could see it. And it was being seen in their life. They were producing fruit and it was being strengthened by their learning. And the church was being strengthened and it was being shared. The gospel was being shared everywhere through their laboring. No wonder Paul said there in verse 3, we give thanks unto you, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Let me ask you something. Who's thanking God today because of your faith? Who's being influenced today by your faith? Are you an influencer? Are you influencing someone today? Let me tell you what, people are watching you. People are watching me. My children are watching me. My wife's watching me. My grandchildren are watching me, and they're doing the same to you. They're watching you, and they want to see something different in your life. If you claim to be a Christian, they want to see you live it out day after day. You know what? This church is you. Northside is you. This is just a building. You make up the church. And I found this, and I just want to read it. It says, I am your church. I am your church. Make of me what you will. I shall reflect you as clearly as a mirror. If outwardly my appearance is pleasing and inviting, it's because you made me so. If within my spiritual atmosphere is kindly yet earnest, reverently yet friendly, worshipful yet sincere, strong, divine, yet humanly expressed, it is but the manifestation of the Spirit of God of those that constitute the membership of the church. But if you should by chance find me a bit cold and dull, I beg you not to condemn me, the church, for I show forth the only kind of life I shall receive from you. I have no life or spirit apart from you. Of this may you always be assured. I will respond instantly to your every wish practically expressed, for I am the reflected image of your soul. Make of me what you will. Isn't that so true? We are the church. And to be all that God wants us to be, to make much of God, to fill this place week by week for His glory, requires all of us to be in the business of making much of God, letting others see Jesus in you, letting others see Jesus, let others see Jesus making be number one, I'll get it out in a minute, in your life. Putting Him first in your life. Making Him the main issue. Introducing others for Jesus. And we do that by, number one, loving one another. Listening to one another. And learning from one another. And always remember, growing saints are fruitful saints. Growing saints are fruitful saints. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, as we come to you today, Lord, I pray that you would take this little message that I shared today and apply it to each and every one of our hearts, beginning in me, Lord. And God, help us to be the church that makes much of you. God, help us to be the church that puts you first in all that we do. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you so much for loving us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart today, you be obedient to whatever it is. If you're in here today and you've never been saved, I invite you to come and be saved today. If you're in here today and you've drifted away from God, I want you to know that God's arms are always open wide, ready to receive you. If you're in here today and you've been visiting for some time and you feel like God's leading you to join, I invite you to come today. Whatever it is, you be obedient to the Lord. Let's stand.